And if you can imagine just for a moment, if you were blind, if you could not see, how different would the world be to you? I mean, really, think how much we take that for granted, something as simple as our vision. If I took these glasses off right now, I would not be able to tell who a single person in this whole place is, and I can't read that. Okay? And that's not blind. I can at least see shapes, I can see colors, I can see different levels of light. But for people that are blind, especially if they've been blind from birth, they don't have any clue what you're talking about if you say that something is red. Like, do you see that red car? They'd be like, no, I don't understand. Obviously, they can't see it, but this car is red. They're like, well, okay, I kind of understand what his car is in because I've rode in one, but I don't know what red is. Can you tell me a little bit more about it? Well, it's beautiful. What's beautiful? Like, I don't understand what that means. People that are blind, they have a different perspective, and we try to explain things from ours. We can't even explain it in a way that they can understand it because they can't imagine what a color is. They can't imagine what something looks like. And so, a matter of fact, they only know things look different because we tell them, right? Because you tell them that something looks different to them. They could care less if every car is the same color. They only know things are different because of how we describe things to them. And again, we're often using terms that make sense to each other, but they make no sense to someone who cannot see. Now, on the flip side of that, imagine if someone has been blind all their life and they've been told that cars are red and beautiful, that trees are just like they're when they bloom and they look great, and then in the fall they are so colorful because they start to lose their the leaves change colors, and we describe all these things to them. Now imagine the moment that they gain their sight. For just a moment, their whole life they've been told all these things, and now one day they gain sight and they can see, and they're like, oh, like this is what you've been talking about all these years. That is amazing. Like, the trees really are beautiful, and it is neat that that car is red, and what color is that one? You know, like, they would be amazed. Like, I can see what you've been explaining to me. Now it makes sense, and that is beautiful. And all that they've heard about, all that they've been told their whole life, it would come to life inside of them, right? Now they can understand what was once clear or unclear, probably very confusing, now becomes clear. They can understand it, and it changes everything. And the same thing happens with the spiritually blind. That's mostly what I'm focusing on today, is spiritual blindness. But people often hear about Jesus. They hear about how great Jesus is. They hear about all the ways that we describe him, how he's loving and how he's comforting and how he teaches us and all these things that he does through his spirit. And we teach all these things, and yet they just simply can't understand it. And for us, we look at, well, like, well, what do you mean you don't understand this? Like, is there something wrong with you? Like, how can you not understand? I'm telling you, I'm explaining it to you. And just the same as you can't explain a red car to a person who's been blind their whole life, sometimes you can't explain how great Jesus is to someone who's spiritually blind. You can tell them, but they very well might not get it. But how many of you are like me and that you get discouraged about that? You're like, I don't know how to say it any other way. Well, try explaining how something looks to somebody that's blind. It's basically what we're doing. And so no matter how we describe it, it may not make sense. And so in John chapter 1, John tells us the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Well, the light was shining in the darkness. What do you mean? The light's shining there. How can you not see the light? Well, the darkness doesn't comprehend it. It takes the removal of blindness. Blindness has to be removed for there to be clarity, for there to be understanding. And so I want to look at the story today that some of you probably know of blind Bartimaeus, and there's multiple accounts of this in the Gospels, but I want to look at this and look at a man who was actually literally blind, but he was also spiritually blind, and see when a blind person encounters Jesus, what happens in their life. So I'm going to pray if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 10. That's what I'm going to be reading out of today is Matthew chapter 10. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your word being so deep and on so many levels, showing us so many things that every time that we read it, that we can be amazed and see something new. And God, I pray right now today as we read your scriptures that you give us revelation, that you bring your word that already is alive, bring it to life in us. God, that we would see it for what you have written it to be, that you would use it to inspire us, to correct us, to bring up righteousness in us, Lord. And we just pray right now as we read your word that Holy Spirit, you would speak to each and every one of our hearts. Let us not leave this place the same as we came into this place. Let us leave transformed by your spirit and the power of your holy, mighty word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. If I do or say anything really funny, just ignore it, okay? The board meeting, I was looking at two treasurer's reports for like 2 minutes before I realized that they were exactly the same thing. One of them was supposed to be for my wife. I was like, why? I have two of these, and they look very similar. No, they were exactly the same. One of them was not mine. But so, anyway, when I'm weak, the Lord is strong. He's always strong, but praise the Lord, when I'm weak, maybe he just wants me to get out of the way today, and I'm perfectly fine with that. So I'm going to read through this whole account right here first before we get into it. It's not too long. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52 says, "Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat on the road begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered him and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Now, we see miracles like this all throughout the New Testament, especially by the hands of Jesus. We see the dead raised, we see sick people healed, we see demons cast out, and just like we read here, we see blind eyes opened. And it's really easy to read something like this and us to get one thing out of it. Oh, well, a blind man received sight. That's pretty cool. Move on. Especially if you've read it before, it's very easy. You get to that part and you're like, oh yeah, blind Bartimaeus, I know all that. And you move on. But there's so much more to each and every one of these stories, these parables, these accounts that we see. And there's more than a physical need, as we're going to see here. In this case, there's also a spiritual need. But in all these stories, just in this right here, briefly, looking at it, I saw a physical need, a spiritual need. I saw faith. I saw obedience. I saw restoration. I saw somebody's past and their future. All this in this little compact story, just 6 or 7 verses. And so I want to look at it in a little more detail and see what happens when he encounters the Lord and what happens when a person encounters the Lord. So right at the beginning, it says, "Now they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, and blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging." Okay, Jesus is coming, and he's not just coming, but he has his disciples with him, and he has a great multitude. Now, this is what a great multitude means. A lot of people, like a large crowd. This is not like, we're not a multitude right here. In physical number, we are not a multitude. If we were to go out, they'd be like, oh, that's a pretty big group of people. But I'm talking, a multitude's like, you know, a baseball stadium full or something maybe a hockey stadium. It's about half the size there. But a big number of people moving together like, wow, we should start saying that. Wow, that's a multitude of people. You want to start talking like that? What did you say we should start saying last night? We, about the wee hours. We're going to start talking like that. So if we get a little funny, don't worry about it. But multitude, it's a lot. And so he's coming and he's got a lot of people with him. So if you can picture him coming down the road with a bunch of people, he's in a crowd. Okay, if you're a blind person and your healer is coming, like, how do you even know where to go? Is he on the left-hand side of the road? Is he on the right-hand side of the road? Is he in the middle of the road, like, with all these people around him? You can't see him. How do you know where to even go? And so you have blind Bartimaeus, and he's sitting already before Jesus comes. He's sitting by the road begging because he's blind, okay? He can't see. He probably doesn't have any kind of job. And I want to point out that it says Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Bar means son of. So it's saying son of Timaeus, son of Timaeus. Why? I don't really know for sure. But Timaeus in the Greek, that word means foul, defiled, polluted, or unclean. So Bartimaeus, who's blind, it tells us, is the son of a foul, defiled, polluted, unclean man. And a lot of commentaries believe, and again, these are just people's, what their thoughts are from studying, they believe Timaeus was blind. So it's possible that he's a blind man, son of a blind man, but he's definitely son of a unclean man, son of a polluted man. And so needless to say, he's probably had a really rough life, okay? Because his dad's not great. He's probably been begging. He's probably been on the street for years, blind, in need, in want. He doesn't even have his basic needs met. This is something that we don't see in this scripture. It's like, oh, well, he's blind and he's begging. Well, he wasn't begging people to heal him. He's probably begging people like, I'm hungry. Can I have some food? And so he hasn't even has his basic needs met. And back then, it wasn't quite like it is now. Okay, now if you're blind, somebody's going to take care of you. Okay, in most situations, I'm sure there's blind people on the streets because we have people on the streets. But if you're blind, somebody in your family is going to take care of you, or the government's going to take care of you. You're probably going to have at least your basic needs met. But that wasn't necessarily the case here. If you're blind, you may end up on the streets, especially if your dad was not willing to take care of you. You're on the streets begging for your very livelihood, fending for yourself. And so you see this man on the street, but I don't really see a blind beggar. After I read the story, I don't just see a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. I see somebody who's just in need. Like, regardless of if he's blind or not, he really has some serious needs in his life. And so what did he do? He's by the street begging. He put himself in the best position that he knew how. Like, I can't see where I'm going. I know that people pass through here. And if I get in position, maybe I can get something. I'm just going to get in the best spot that I can figure out, because I can't tell if Jesus is coming on the left, on the right, or in the middle. What I know is this is where I usually sit and beg, and occasionally somebody throws me a scrap. So I'm going to put myself in the best position that I know how. He's one who he hoped to have his needs met by God, his needs met by God, and he put himself in the best position for that to happen. How many of us do that? How many times do you have need from God and you do your best to put yourself in the best position to be able to receive that need? That's a pretty important part. If Bartimaeus is laying back in the back against the building, just feeling sorry for himself, guess what? He gets nothing. But he puts himself in the best position that he can, where he has the best chance of receiving his needs. And so as he sits there begging, that's when this happens. It's not he went out to the road because Jesus was coming. He was already in need. But in verse 47 says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So picture this man who's in need. He can't see what's happening. He can't see who's coming. He just knows that he needs something, probably food. and he's in the best position to receive help. But then he hears who's coming. Now, this really changes stuff for him because he's like, okay, it's not just people coming. It's not, I mean, how many of you have ever worked in a place at Black Friday? I know some of you have probably been shopping, but has anybody ever worked in a place on Black Friday? When I was going to Lakeland, I worked at Menards on Black Friday. I was in the paint department, which is all the way in the back, and I could hear it when they opened the doors. I'm serious. It was like frightening. And I'm in the paint department. I'm pretty clear. I mean, nobody's coming back for paint, right? Nobody wants to sit around and wait for paint to be mixed. But when they opened the doors, I could hear the multitude. That was a multitude. I could hear it coming. I didn't have to be able to see. I didn't have to know that there was people coming in. I didn't have to know what time it was. I could hear them coming. And I imagine blind Bartimaeus is laying there begging, and he hears people coming. It's a multitude. He's got to be able to hear them coming. He doesn't know who, but someone says, it's Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth is in that group. He's coming. And so blind Bartimaeus, he's blind. He's not deaf. He knew who Jesus was. He had heard people talking, right? I mean, Jesus was the talk of the town. People knew who he was when he was approaching. People had been telling him all these mighty things that Jesus had done. Blind man, can't see. Somebody's got to tell him. So he's heard. He's heard all about Jesus. But even better, Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. He didn't just know of him. We see in this story, he knew who he was. He knew Jesus was the Messiah. And we see that by what he says. He's immediately, hey, that's Jesus coming. Immediately, Bartimaeus says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. As soon as he knew that Jesus was near, he did not wait. It doesn't say somebody said Jesus was coming and he waited until, like, well, is he close yet? No. Immediately he cries out instantly with a loud voice. He cried out, okay? He wasn't like, hey, Jesus, have, no. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. How do we know that he knew who Jesus was? He called him the Son of David, okay? How many of you, if the first time somebody told you about Jesus, you were like, oh yes, Son of David, I know him. No, he knew exactly who Jesus was. Son of David is a messianic title. This is Bartimaeus proclaiming Jesus as the promised Messiah as he's coming, a blind man. He knows this guy that's coming, he's Savior. He's the one who has been sent. And Bartimaeus, right here, he's in need of way more than physical eyesight. He's in need of an encounter with Jesus. That's why he's excited. That's why he's like, Jesus, Son of David. It's not just, he doesn't say, Jesus, heal me. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I imagine most people that were laying there blind, they're like, Jesus is coming. And like, oh, Jesus, he's that guy that they say can heal people. Most people would say, Jesus, healer, heal me, right? That might be what many of us would cry out. Jesus, the healer, please heal me. But no, he says, Jesus, Savior, save me, is what he's yelling out. And so Bartimaeus was eager to get to Jesus. Why? He's blind. All he knows is what he's heard. But I tell you what, with what he's heard, he knows he's missing something. He knows I'm missing something and I have an opportunity to get way more than a meal. I have an opportunity to get way more than my eyesight. Like, this is it. Like, I'm blind. I may never get this opportunity again because here he comes. I can hear them coming. And so you don't know that you're missing something when you're blind if nobody tells you. You don't know that you're missing something if nobody tells you. And this is why in Romans chapter 2 verse 19 says that we're to be confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. We are a guide to the blind. Somebody was a guide to Bartimaeus that told him about Jesus and what Jesus did and who he was. so that he knew when Jesus was coming, like, this is it. I finally have my chance. Listen, when you're blind, you can't just jump on a donkey and go looking for Jesus. Not unless you have Balthazar's donkey. You know, like, if you have one that can talk, that you can communicate with, you might be able to do that. But you can't just jump on a donkey and, like, I'm going to go search out this Messiah. He's coming. It's my one opportunity. And so Bartimaeus was eager. And those who don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior are blind. Blind, spiritually. And Dave, can I talk about you for a minute? Do you trust me? I won't embarrass. You don't trust me? Okay. I tell you what. There's a morning where Dave walked into my office. And you guys, I'm telling you what. That moment changed my life. As Tasha's talking about how it changed her life, what he said the other day. But he walked in, somebody who was spiritually blind. He didn't know. He's like, he told me he didn't even know why he was here. Like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't even know how I got here. And I'm like, okay, well, let's sit down and talk, you know? And we talked for a while and, you know, I don't remember, a couple hours. And I told him, come back tomorrow morning. He came back the next day, considered the stuff that we had talked about, asked him if he wanted to be saved. And he said, yeah, I'm ready. He got saved that morning. We met, I don't know, over the next few weeks, we met a couple of times a week for a couple hours at a time. And you know, Dave walked in that morning spiritually blind. And the Spirit of God opened his eyes. Okay, it wasn't me. It wasn't anything I said. I said, you know what, Dave? I said, all the stuff that I'm telling you, there's a point where I didn't know it either. Like, every bit of it. What I'm preaching right now, I didn't know earlier this week, okay? The Spirit of God is the one who opens our eyes. But until someone leads us, until someone shows us, we don't know that we're missing something. Dave said, I don't know why I'm here. And I said, I know why you're here. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know why you're here, okay? The Spirit of God opens our eyes, and we have to tell people what they're missing. We have to tell people what they can't see. We have to tell people what they don't understand. And so if you're blind, you can't see who Jesus is. It doesn't matter what you've been told. It doesn't matter if you've gone to church your whole life. If you're still spiritually blind, you don't understand. Just like you, if you're physically blind, you still wouldn't understand what red means. And so in verse 48, back to Mark, the people around, they warned Bartimaeus to be quiet. Okay, now one, it was a warning. What does it mean when somebody gives you a warning? Like, if you don't listen, there's consequences. They warned him to be quiet, and what does he do? He cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. See, Bartimaeus, he's on the side of the road, and he can't see, but he knows Jesus is coming. And these people warn him, like, listen, dude, you better shut up because Jesus is coming. He doesn't want to hear from you, and neither do we. You just go back to begging, get in the corner. Nobody cares about you. They want this guy to just be quiet because in their eyes, in society's eyes, remember, he's an outcast. He's a nobody. This blind beggar, he's the son of this foul and defiled and unclean man. Like, be quiet. You're being a distraction, Bartimaeus. You're not worthy of Jesus' time. You're not worthy to be heard. You just need to be quiet. That's what society was telling him. And that's what society tells people right now today, a lot of times, who are away from the Lord. And unfortunately, it's what some churches tell people. And praise the Lord, we're not like that. And if we ever are, make sure that you point it out. But they want him to just be quiet. And what does he do? He doesn't cower back. He doesn't let anything stand in his way of getting to Jesus. How many of you are like that? There's days where I'm not like that. There's days where I let lots of stuff get in my way. And Bartimaeus is like, there is nothing today that is going to stop me from getting to him. Even a threat. He was warned. I mean, I don't know what they were going to do to him, but it probably wasn't going to be fun. It was a warning. Be quiet or else you're going to get it. And so instead of listening, he cries out all the more. This means much louder, with a greater desire, a greater passion. Son of David, have mercy on me. The world wants Bartimaeus to be quiet and get to the back. Bartimaeus says, I'm getting to Jesus no matter what the cost is. No matter if it's my life, I don't care what it is, I'm getting to Jesus. And this right here is a part of the message for you today. Don't let anything stop you from calling out to Jesus. If you're in need, guess what? He's here. Don't let anything stop you from crying out to him. Not the threats of the world, not what people say. It doesn't matter. You have to take your shot when you get it. Blind Bartimaeus had his shot. Jesus is coming down the road. This literally could be his only shot the rest of his life. And that's it. You know, we're so arrogant to think that, well, I'm only 36. I've probably got, you know, 50, 60 more years. I mean, I got all kinds of time. That's how we think. Don't be so arrogant. Jesus is here, and this may be your only opportunity today. It could be. It could all be over today for a number of reasons, and I don't mean to scare anybody or anything like that, but just as Bartimaeus was like, I'm seizing this opportunity right now because it could be my only chance. You know what? Jesus might have come back through tomorrow. He didn't know that, and he wasn't going to waste any time to find out. I'm going for it no matter what, and Bartimaeus saw this opportunity, so he took it. And I love Jesus' response as he cries out all the more. Jesus does this. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, commanded them to tell Bartimaeus to come to him. And so they called the blind man and said to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Jesus hears the cries of someone that's in need. And it says, he stands still. Does that right there, think about how the people are viewing Bartimaeus. Shut up, get to the back. Like, you're not worthy. And Jesus hears him crying and stops. He stops. It doesn't, not just like, I'd probably like slow down like, who's that lunatic? What is he screaming about? Jesus stops. He stands still. Does that not show you how loving and caring that our Lord is? That in the midst, he's in a multitude of people. I can't even imagine how he heard Bartimaeus. Probably because he was screaming a lot louder than what you or I have ever yelled before. Because he knew, this is my shot. I'm going to get his attention. And Jesus, in the midst of a crowd, stops and calls him to himself. Man, that is a word for you today. I mean, you yell out to Jesus, he will stop and say, come here. I mean, never one time, no matter what you're going through in your life, does he say, I'm too busy for you. Be quiet, get to the back, you're not worthy. Never. He stops and says, come here, bring him to me. That should be freedom and liberation to somebody today. That no matter what we're going through, Jesus will stop for you because he loves you that much. It doesn't matter. You realize where he was heading to Jerusalem. He made a couple more stops, but he's going to the cross. It's kind of early in Mark when you look at the whole book. So you see chapter 10, well, there's quite a bit to go. No, he was on his way to the cross and he stopped for Bartimaeus as he yelled out. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says this. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we will know that we have the petitions of what we have asked of him. Don't believe that Jesus doesn't care about you or your problems or that he's too busy for you. Don't believe that he's not going to respond to you, because if you ask according to his will, he hears you. And Bartimaeus is saying, Lord, have mercy on me. That's what the Lord is all about, having mercy on us. And he says that, I hear that. Now listen, he probably doesn't hear like, let me have a Lamborghini, okay? So often we try to make Jesus a genie. Right? There's a big difference between a genie and Jesus, okay? But Jesus, when you're crying out for help, he will stop. You're asking for a new car? Maybe. Probably depends on what he's doing. Probably depends on your motivation. But when you cry out for help, I need you, Jesus, he will stop. And so for this blind beggar, Jesus stops, stands still, and says, come to me. You know, a lot of times I think that we're afraid to go. Jesus is saying, stop and come. But why are we afraid to go? Think about your own life, times where you've refused to go to him. Like, what stops you? What keeps you from going to him? Whatever we're going through, when he says, come, we need to come quickly. People think that Jesus sometimes will just magically work things out, right? I'm a believer. I'm washed in the blood. I've been walking with the Lord my whole life. Like, I don't need to go to him about this. He knows what I'm going through. He'll work it out. Well, maybe. Is that a chance that you're willing to take? I mean, really? When he says, come, you need to come. Don't like, well, I'll just, I mean, imagine Bartimaeus. He's like sitting on the side of the road. Like, Jesus yells, come, and he's just like, I'm good. It'll all work out. Like, somebody will give me some food. Maybe one day I'll see. It'll all work out because I know that Jesus is Messiah. No, he cries out louder, and Jesus says, come, because he's available. He's available, but you have to come to him. Okay, there's a difference between just him providing for you and you going to him. Okay, he is our provider, absolutely. But when he says come, we have to come. And I want to look at a few verses on that just quickly. Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. He says, let the children come to me. See, he's open, he's willing, he's ready for the children. Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. We sang that today. What does he say? Come. Come to me, you who are heavy laden and burdened. Okay, not just like sit and sulk and feel bad for yourself and know that I'm God. No, he says, come to me. In Revelation 22:17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. For whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. See, it takes a response on our part. And Jesus said to Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus, come. You have a desire, you have a need, come to me. And in doing this, Jesus did a couple of things in this particular story. First, you remember, people are telling Bartimaeus to be quiet. He doesn't want anything to do with you. You're not good enough. Listen, when Jesus said come, he silenced the critics. All those people who were saying, Bartimaeus, shut up. You're not good enough. Get to the back. Keep it down. You're a distraction. Jesus says, no, you're wrong. You, the critics, you're wrong. He is worthy. Tell him, he told them, tell him to come. Like, you tell him to come to me. He silences the critics. Those who say that you're not worthy, Jesus says, no, I want that one. That one is worthy to me. I do desire them to come to me. And I can imagine, again, Bartimaeus blind, sitting there, crying out to Jesus. At this point, he still doesn't know if Jesus is near or far. He doesn't have any, he just knows the multitude's coming. He's here somewhere. I don't know if he's here, if he's near or far. He probably doesn't even know if Jesus can hear him or not. Okay? He doesn't have this story to look at, right? He's in it. He doesn't know that Jesus can hear him. or not, and they tell him to be quiet, he yells louder, and Jesus says, no, you guys go tell him to come to me. And then they have to tell him, hey, cheer up, Bartimaeus, he's calling you. Like, they're probably like, he's calling you. You hear him? I don't know why, but he's calling you to come out there. And this is the same guy who begins crying out to Jesus the instant that he heard that he's coming. The instant that he heard Jesus is coming, Bartimaeus yells out for Jesus with no hesitation. And then Jesus says, come. And look at Bartimaeus' response. Mark chapter 10, verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. He threw aside his garment to go to Jesus. It doesn't say he set it aside. I mean, like, it'd be like somebody, where's Lena? You don't even have a coat on. I was going to say, Lena's always got her coat on. It'd be like somebody's got their coat on, right? And it's like, how many of you would, like, throw it off? Just randomly throw it. No, you would take it off. You'd be like, all right, I'll be right there. You take your coat off. You might fold it up. You might hang it up. Depends on how much you like your coat, how much you cherish it. Maybe you would fold it up neatly. Maybe you'd ask somebody to hold it. No, Bartimaeus throws his coat off. Listen, he's blind. He doesn't even know where it went. I mean, he throws his coat off. And if I'm there, I'm like, Bartimaeus, you're not going to be able to find your coat. Why would you do that? Why would you just throw it like it's nothing? And this coat is an upper garment. It would be like a jacket for us. And really, it was long. It probably went all the way to the ground. And he's probably going to need that. Like, it's going to be cold. Remember, he begs on the street. You're going to need that garment. And again, it doesn't say why he threw it to the side. And there's many ways you can take that. You can take it like, maybe he took it off in fear that he's going to trip over it because it was long. It's probably more like a robe, like what we would know of as a robe today. Maybe he was thinking, I got to get this off because I can't be tripping over this. Like, I got to get to Jesus, whatever the cost, I'm taking this off. I don't want this to hinder me getting to him. And think about a beggar and his coat. You imagine somebody that's on the streets of St. Louis right now, how valuable their coat is to them. It's probably about all they got. That's how valuable this garment probably was. It's probably one of the very few possessions that Bartimaeus had. And he may have just had that much faith. You know, he may have just thought, you know what? I'm going to encounter the Savior. And so I'm getting ready to receive my sight and everything else I need. And, you know, if I even want that coat later, I'll be able to find it. Maybe that's the approach he took. Or maybe he just simply didn't care or think about it at all. And Jesus said, come. And out of excitement, he's like, yes, I'm coming. And he threw off his coat and ran out there ready to play. It'd be like Jason sitting on the court side of a pickup basketball game. And they're like, we need one more. Somebody's hurt. We need one more. Jason, he probably would play in his coat. But if anything, it would be coming off on the way to the court, off to the side, right? You'd be excited to get out there. And maybe that's the kind of approach he had. Like, I don't really care. I'm ready. Jesus is calling me. I'm ready. I'm getting there fast. The garment's coming off on the way there. And I'm throwing it away to go to him. I don't even care if I can find it when I'm done. He gave up something worldly that meant everything to him so he could gain something eternally. He gave up something worldly that was very, very, very valuable to him. But he knew that what he was going to gain was something eternal, something greater and bigger. And how often do we let things of this world trip us up, keep us from getting to Jesus, whether it trips us, whether it weights us down, or we just don't want to get rid of it? Sometimes we're afraid we're going to lose it, even sin. Let's just be honest. Some people are afraid they're going to lose that sin because it's fun sometimes. They enjoy it. They don't even want to, like, well, what if I misplace it? What if I forget how to do that? Who cares? Come to Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 1, the second half of it tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us. Are you keeping something, holding on to something that is keeping you from coming to Jesus? Because blind Bartimaeus threw it off. Like, don't care if I ever find it. Don't care where it went. I'm coming to Jesus. And Jesus answered him. Imagine Bartimaeus comes up to Jesus. In verse 51, Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Oh, man. How many of you would love that encounter? Right? Like, I mean, just imagine. Imagine, Katie, Jesus comes to you and like, what would you like for me to do to you? You'd be like, hold on, let me get my list. Maybe not you, but people, we would. We'd be like, hold on, I think I have a notepad on here somewhere. All that stuff I was wanting you to do for me. We go back to genie mentality instead of Jesus, okay? And Bartimaeus says, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Man, what an obvious answer to an obvious question, right? Hey, blind man, what do you want from me? Me, creator of all, healer, what do you want from me? And the people around him, I imagine, are like, hey, Jesus, that guy's blind. What do you mean? What does he want? Like, I mean, he really had to ask that question. He had to throw off his robe so he didn't trip over it. He doesn't even know where it went. And you're asking what he wants? He probably is going to want to be able to see. And see, it's not that Jesus didn't know what blind Bartimaeus wanted. It's not that he didn't know at all. It's that he wanted to hear Bartimaeus tell him what he wants. This is where when we get that mentality that Jesus knows what I'm going through and he'll work all things out. Well, that's partially true. He does know and he might work it out. But what he wants is he wants you to come. Come to him. Tell me what you need. And just as we see right here, he says, tell me. Tell me what you want, Bartimaeus. He wanted to hear him say it because he has a desire for us to express our needs to him. You know, I don't want to just give my kids everything that they want and never have any communication with them, never know how they feel about something, let them express it in their own words. No. Sometimes you give them what they need, and sometimes you're like, oh, well, tell me about it. I could just fix it. No, but tell me about it. Tell me about what you're going through, and then let me help you. And this is what Jesus does with Bartimaeus. He says, tell me, Bartimaeus, what do you want? When we say it out loud, that's an expression of our faith. Bartimaeus says, well, that I'd receive my sight. Like, that's what I want. I want to receive my sight. Jesus wants us to tell him. And we see in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened to you. We are told over and over and over throughout the New Testament to tell Jesus our wants, our needs. And right there in that verse, ask it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. It does not say wish and it will be granted. It doesn't say, Jesus never said, wish and it will be granted to you. Or think about it, feel sorry for yourself and it'll happen. I'll work it out. That's not in there either. It's just not. He says, speak. What do you want? Tell me what I can do for you. And Bartimaeus says, master. That's what Rabboni means. It's like an elevated form of rabbi, which was teacher. It's like, master, I want to see. Like, you are the man. Like, you are the top of all. And this is what I want. I want to see. Verse 52, Jesus says to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately He received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Bartimaeus has this desire to see. The people around him knew that he was blind, and even reading this story, we know that he's blind. It's how he's introduced, blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. And we see that right here. His physical sight is restored. And a lot of times it's where we leave it. Like, that's the miracle in that text. What an awesome miracle. And it is. It's an awesome miracle that Jesus restores his physical sight. But so often we leave it right there. But look at what Jesus said to him. He said, "Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. Made well, that literally translates in the Greek to saved you. Your faith saved you. That's the first thing Jesus says to him. He says, "Master, I want to see." And Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you." Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Because of Bartimaeus's faith, because he recognized Jesus as the Savior all the way back, Jesus, Son of David, he knew exactly who he was. And because of that, because he knew, all I have to do is get to Jesus. That's all I got to do is get there and everything will be taken care of. Because of that, he receives salvation through faith in Christ. That's the real miracle of blind Bartimaeus. It's not that he received his physical sight. He received spiritual sight. Jesus said, not open your eyes and tell me what you see in front of you. He said, your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. And then it says, immediately he received his sight. In reading it, I can't help but to believe he received his physical and spiritual sight right there when Jesus said, your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you well. Not only can he see what's around him, but he's also not in spiritual darkness anymore. The light has dispelled the darkness from Bartimaeus's life. Here's the evidence of that. Let's say that you've been blind. You're begging for a living. Maybe you're on the streets. You need healed of physical blindness. What is the first thing that you would do when you received your sight? Just think about it. You're in Bartimaeus' shoes. And as you're laying on the street, you're begging your whole life probably. Jesus calls you. You throw off your coat. You run to him. And you receive your sight. Like, all of a sudden, bam, I can see. Just think about what's the very first thing that you would do. I'd say for some people, depends on the temperature, maybe they'd go look for that coat that they just threw off, right? Like, I can see. I'm going to find my coat, right? Some people may go and like look for food. Like, where can I find some food at now that I can go and look for it myself? Some people may go and look for another job, right? Now I can get a job because I can see and I can get money because of that. Some people may go and look for a better place to live temporarily. Like, really? I've been sleeping there next to that? No wonder it stinks all the time. There's a trash can right there. You know, now that I can see, I'm going to go find a better place, maybe a safer alley with a little less scary people. Maybe if you could see, you would approach people. Now I don't have to lay here begging. I can go to people and say, hey, can you help me? I'm hungry. What would you do when you receive your sight for the very first time? And what Bartimaeus does, as far as we know, is none of the above. Bartimaeus is told by Jesus, go your way. Go your way. You're saved. You can see. Now go your way. What does he tell him? Go do what you want. Go wherever you desire. Go follow your path. And where did he go? He followed Jesus. See, he receives this what we see is this miracle of just, I can see. No, it's much more than that, because now he says, you're free, go do what you want. And he says, okay, I'm following you. Like, where are we going? This is a guy who's been blind, begging, hungry, in need, and Jesus heals him and says, now go your way. And he says, okay, I will follow you. Where are we going? How many of us can say the same? How many of us can say the same? When Jesus gives you the need that you've been looking for, that you've been desiring, and then he says, okay, now go your way. Oh, I can go my way. I can do whatever I want. Yes. Right? Yes. I can do whatever I want. I'm going to watch, you know, an entire season of X nonstop on Netflix until it runs out, because I can do whatever I want. That's the way that people work a lot of times. Jesus works in their life and says, now go your way. He gives them the choice. Go your way. What you want to do. And we're like, yes, I'm free. Not only did you give me what I want, I feel better, but now I can go do X, Y, or Z. But Bartimaeus, he says, I'm following you. And Bartimaeus stopped at nothing to have an encounter with Jesus. Remember what he went through. He didn't let physical blindness stop him. He didn't let other people trying to silence him stop him. He didn't let his past stop him, who he was, who his father was. He didn't let his possessions stop him. None of this stuff stopped Bartimaeus from getting to Jesus. Not one single thing. He went to him and he threw off the past. And when he received what he was wanting, he followed Jesus. This is an awesome story. Like, there's so many miracles in this story. It's ridiculous. But he goes from sitting on the side of the road to walking on the road with his Savior. What an awesome place to be. What an awesome privilege, blessing. Everything changed the day that Jesus called Bartimaeus to him. Come. Everything changed on that day when Jesus said, come. And Bartimaeus obeyed. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age, that is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's the position today, right now, of many people around the world. Blinded by the enemy, unable to see the glorious light that is Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. When we follow Jesus, when he says, come to me, we can have that freedom, that very same freedom that Bartimaeus had. John 8:12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So today, just as Jesus said that day to Bartimaeus, Jesus says, come. Like, it doesn't matter what our needs are. It doesn't matter if we feel like we're worthy, if society says we're worthy. Jesus says, come. And you can stay where you're at, and then you'll just stay where you're at. When he says, come, and you come, he has the power to change our lives. He and he alone. So today I'm asking, if people have a need in their life, Jesus says, come. Will you make the choice that Bartimaeus made when he said, yes, at all costs, whatever I've got to do, I'm throwing off my coat and I'm coming. I want you to come to the altar. If that's you right now, Bartimaeus would have his coat off and he'd be down here already. Bartimaeus saw a need and he said, Lord, what I want, Master, is that I would receive my sight. You know, that's all it tells us in the text. I don't even know if he was asking for physical sight or spiritual sight. Maybe we're not supposed to know. And Jesus says, your faith has saved you. See, Bartimaeus was desiring his sight. That's the purpose of the church, is to restore sight to the blind. Spiritually, restore sight to the blind. What do we come to church for? Do we come to church just to sing songs? Or do we come for the reason Bartimaeus came? To receive sight. Lord, give me sight. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Show me your ways. What keeps us from seeing our own needs? Self-righteousness. The it'll work out mentality. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in the it'll work out mentality. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. If you want to go with the it'll all work out, it will all work out if you seek the kingdom of God. If you want to seek the kingdom, you need to seek the king. And today, we consider that we're all Bartimaeuses in this place. That we have to take this step of stepping into our calling, of throwing off the past, throwing aside the cares of this life, to seek after Jesus, to see what he has for us. Because immediately when we abandon the old, we position ourselves to receive the new that Jesus has for us today. So if you would stand to your feet in this place, anyone else who needs to come, I want you to come.